Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 16. Text 31. Om Jnanatimirandasya or Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Krishnasya Garbo Jagatoti Paravasanam Parshni Prahara Pari Udna Sanatya Patram Tisvahim Adyam Upashedur Amushya Patnya Artha Vatad Vasana Bhushana Kesha Vanda. When Kali's wives saw how the serpent had become so fatigued from the excessive weight of Lord Krishna, who carries the entire universe in his abdomen, and how Kali's umbrella-like hoods had been shattered by the striking of Krishna's heels, they felt great distress. With their clothing, ornaments, and hairs scattered in disarray, they then approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. And according to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Kaliya's wives had been disgusted with their husband because of his demoniac activities. They had been thinking, if this atheist is killed by the punishment of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then let him be killed. Will we become widows and engage in the worship of the Supreme Lord? But then the ladies noticed Kaliya's facial expressions and other bodily features, and they understood that Krishna had indeed taken shelter of the Lord within his mind. Seeing that he was manifesting symptoms of humility, remorse, regret, and doubt, they thought, just how fortunate we are. Our husband has now become a Vaishnav, therefore we must endeavor to protect him. They felt affection for their repentant husband and sincere distress because of his miserable position, and thus altogether they went into the presence of the Supreme Lord. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Taksuram Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vansha Kalpa Tarujasya Kripashindu Vaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanejo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasa Devor Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from Vrindavan. With the regular activities, yesterday I was fortunate to be invited to speak at the disappearance festival of Vibhu Chaitanya, one of the great Vaishnavas that resided here for over 35 years, passed away 2 years ago. So, we actually have a anyway, I went to speak and glorify him, and I was more than happy to do that, as I was one of his fans, as was everyone else here, because he was a Param Vaishnava, a supreme top Vaishnava. Fortunate to get that association of one who gave everything to Krishna. I'm doing actually a few classes here. Sometimes with just a few people. But in the morning I'm reading a book which is very edifying called Following the Angels, The Path of Dedication by Swami B.R. Sridhar. And he made a nice point. He said, we're small, but we won't even sacrifice a part of the small for God. I wish I could find it. It's such a good line. One second. We are very small, but we are willing to sacrifice only a part of the small. And that's our, at least my lamentable condition. I'm trying to give more and more of myself, understanding that that's the only way to actually be satisfied, is to give ourselves to God and to associate and see those who have done. But Vibhu Chaitanya gave his full self to the Supreme. No doubt about that. Now we're at the prayers of the Nagapatnis. They saw the transformation of their husbands, whose false ego had been smashed to the degree that any sense that Kaliya had that he was independent, that illusion was smashed by Krishna himself by dancing on Kaliya's head. And when that last sense of illusion, that I am the doer and I am the controller, independent of God, was visibly visibly apparent, or apparent that it was a sham, then Kaliya Smitra was able to remember, and this is such an interesting point, that we assimilate knowledge but we don't really realize it. We hear it, but we don't accept it. And it goes someplace in our chitta, our consciousness. It makes some impression. And a lot of times, yeah, we understand it, but not really. You know, Krishna's God, we're not the body. We don't think about it and accept it enough to actually live by it. It's such that our misfortune is that we don't accept and access what we know enough to realize it and live by it. And often it takes some trauma or death to embrace that truth. There's some kind of resistant mechanism in us, and the faculty of the intelligence, which I can just call as rationalization, that we know truth, but we can't tolerate the consequences of truth in terms of what those consequences mean to our sense of ego and sense exploitation. And therefore, we use the intelligence to weaken our conviction in those truths so that they don't harm our self-inflated ego. And death and trauma has a way of announcing to us and convincing us of who we are and who we are not. That we're Krishna's servants and we're infinitesimal. We're not the controller and we're not the master of all we see. Anyway, Kaliya embraced this and became humble. He became humble. And humility means to embrace the truth. Humility means to embrace the truth, because humility means to accept that we're not great. So the wives who are devotees and cultured ladies, devotee means compassionate, devotee means forgiving, immediately they forgave and showed compassion. Because they're Vaishnavas. Those are the fundamental qualities of the Vaishnava. There's no separate agenda so that other people's faults are exploited and used for our own desires. Like if the wives of the Kaliya were unsatisfied with Kaliya and now had the illusion of some more romance, then they would not forgive, not be compassionate, but keep the past as the present. But they were cultured, and they were chaste, and they would chase the principles which are tested in truth, and they realized that ultimately they would be better off in that situation, and they were compassionate to the extent that now they were even going to pray for their husbands. But they're very intelligent, so they're simple ladies, but they're very intelligent because they're devotees. And there's an inspiration of intelligence that comes through a devotee beyond one's intellectual capacity. Their minds very much disturbed. Those saintly ladies place their children before them and then bow down to the Lord of all creatures, laying their bodies flat upon the ground. They desire the liberation of their sinful husband and the shelter of the Supreme Lord, the giver of ultimate shelter. Thus they folded their hands in supplication and approached him. So by putting their children down before them and then bowing down to the Lord, laying their bodies flat, they wanted to inspire protection. And they were disturbed because they were anticipating that their husband's death, because he actually deserved to die for his act of terrorism in Vrindavan, his raping of the environment in Vrindavan. So they expected that, but they're devoted to their husbands and they're compassionate as devotees, and they see that their husband has now surrendered to Krishna. But they also understand that Krishna must be angry because of what this demon not only tried to kill him, but he destroyed the environment of Vrindavan. And therefore, the wives of the Kaliyas said that this punishment on the offender is nyaya. It's just. It's just because this is why you've appeared, to curb the envious and cruel persons. And you're so impartial that you look equally upon your enemies and your own sons, and when you impose punishment on a living being, you know it's to be for his ultimate benefit. So Krishna is samaham sarva bhuteshu mane dveshyastanapriya. Krishna is equal to everyone. Mane dveshyastana. He doesn't favor, he doesn't hate. That's not his platform, that's the material platform. He's beyond duality. Krishna loves everyone. And his punishment is also a manifestation of his love. You're so impartial that you look equally upon the enemies and your sons, and when you impose a punishment on a living being, you know it is the ultimate benefit. On your enemies, well, you save Prahlad. He's the son of your enemy, Aranyakashipu. And you're equal, you look equally upon your sons. You killed Narakasura, your own son, who was he turned out to be a demon. And so they're explaining, what you've done is actually mercy for us. It's the punishment you give the wicked. Certainly it drives away their contamination. So, yeah, there's cruelty, and the response is punishment. And the application of punishment is one way to free one of their contamination of envy and cruelty. Cruelty is the height of envy. Because when our desire to lord over others, which is material consciousness, is manifest externally, and the oppression of others, that's one thing. But cruelty is when you enjoy it. And because this conditioned soul is so sinful and has assumed the body of a serpent, which is the physical manifestation of envy, that's why generally people don't like to see snakes. Because they're envious of others, and it's actually manifest in their poison, which can kill you. So your anger towards him, the Nagata, is obviously to be understood as your mercy. To rid one of that horrible existence. Horrible existence. Madhvacharya points out in this connection that when a pious person suffers in this world, he realizes the punishment the Supreme Lord is meting out for me is actually causeless mercy. Now the next verse is an extremely, just a beautiful, beautiful verse. I'm going to read the Sanskrit and explain it. It is really almost revelatory in the sense that I saw something in it which is right there that I haven't heard before. And when you get that kind of revelation in Shastra, you feel that it's only the mercy of Krishna. Tapasu taptam kimanena purvam narasamanena chamanadena tamo tavasarva jananu kampaya yato bhavam tushyati sarva jiva. Did her husbands carefully perform austerities in a previous life? With his mind free of pride and full of respect for others, is that why you were pleased with him? Or did he, in a previous existence, carefully execute religious duties with compassion for all living beings? And is that why you, the life of all living beings, are now satisfied to him? So now the Nagapatnis bring up a very, very interesting point. The fact that their husbands have attained the lotus feet of Krishna on their head. One second here. It's early in the morning. I think I gotta do some stretching. Somehow rise the consciousness. Yeah. Anyway, I think this is a very, very significant verse because anyway, they're trying to say why, and there's two reasons why that could be possible. Because the highest thing is the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna on one's head. And why is it the highest thing? It means that God has accepted us. And that should be our prayer. And usually God accepts us because of our desire to have his shelter. And that should, and imagine what that means. That God has accepted us and accepted our love. So the dust of his lotus feet is also expression of God's love, at least in the form of mercy. And there's nothing more pleasurable, there's nothing more happy, there's nothing more beautiful than to feel the love of God. To feel the love of God and to feel love for God. Those are the two things that we want the most. A relationship with God, who is the most worthy object of relationship. Isn't that why we're practicing Krishna consciousness? Isn't that the purpose of our sadhan bhajan? Sri Rupa Manjari Pada Se Mora Sampada Se Mora Bhajana Puja Se Mora Bhajana Puja Se Mora Rasa Nidhi Say, I forget this. But it says, it's a prayer by Narottam Das Thakur. He's praying that the lotus feet of Sri Rupa Manjari is everything to him. Se tapa, se vrata, it's his austerities, mantra, it's his mantra, it's his japa, it's everything. The lotus feet. To attain the lotus feet means to attain the relationship that you are hankering for, the relationship that is most meaningful to one, and the relationship that can fully satisfy one's heart. So somehow Kaliya has that in Dasyaras. He's a form of he surrendered to Krishna and to accept Krishna as his servant, to accept him, Krishna to accept him as his servant. And Krishna, now he has a lotus feet. So there's either two reasons, there's one of two reasons. Either he's qualified or it's Krishna's mercy. And verses will be explained here what that means. If you attain that thus, then it's so good. That relationship with Krishna is so good that there can be no more hankerings in your heart because everything else is pale by comparison. If you attain the dust, then you don't want to rule over heaven. What to speak of be the president of a paltry country in comparison. You don't want limitless sovereignty. You don't want any position in this world. And you're not even interested in the perfection of yoga. You're not even interested in liberation itself. That's how good it is to have a relationship with God and have one's heart filled with bhakti or devotion, which is the essence of the bliss potency of the Supreme Lord. No one can get this. The goddess of fortune could not get the lotus feet of Krishna. And she took so many vows, and she performed so many austerities. That opportunity she couldn't get. Lord Brahma couldn't get. No one can get. But Kaliya got. So the first thing is maybe he's qualified. And then this verse here says, well, maybe he's qualified. And what's that qualification? Beautiful. It's actually the same as the Trinadapi verse in the Sikshastakam. Nirasta manena jamanadena. Being free from false pride and giving respect to others. In other words, are you humble and respectful, and are you compassionate? And have actually exhibited compassion by helping others. So Prabhupada in the purport very beautifully explains, basically saying, must have been a Vaishnava, because that's what a Vaishnava is. One who's not humble, one who's not respectful to others, one who's not compassionate is not a Vaishnava. That's what a Vaishnava is. One who has experienced Krishna becomes very, very humble, because he's had a taste of the infinite and can see himself in relationship to the total positive perfection. And one sees his inherent need for that infinite perfection and that connection, and realizes that one's whole existence is dependent on that. And that actually by constitution we have nothing. Without God, connection with God, we have nothing. So interesting, because it also confirms the Bhajan Paneli, the path of Bhajan that Prabhupada Srila Bhakti Siddhanta giving, based on the Bhagavatam. The path of perfection is that bhakti does not manifest in a heart that's not humble, respectful, and compassionate. And this was specifically Srila Bhakti Siddhanta's criticism of the application of devotion that was prominent in Radha Kund and is prevalent there even to this day. Because in that particular process, when one comes, even if he has absolutely no qualification, the guru gives one a spiritual identity. It's called Ekadas Bhav, 11 characteristics of one's spiritual form. And he's not really revealing one's form, although it's not really presented like that. One really thinks, oh, I'm getting my form, this is who I am. Because, I mean, there's a famous story of two Russian devotees that got this initiation and saw they were the same person, and then became upset. But anyway, it's a meditation. It's a meditational practice. And it's a meditational practice found within our lives. But from my studies and speaking to people there, it is something that could be given if one was chanting 2 or 3 lakhs nam a day. And what Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was concerned with is that if one felt accomplished at the beginning, before it was actually so, they wouldn't have the consciousness to attract God's mercy. They would develop pride and not be able to feel God's love, because pride is the locus standi. Is that the word? Pride is the locus standi by which one misses the flow of God's love. God's love flows in a particular direction, and it flows to one who sits at the periphery as a humble servant. It doesn't flow to one who has the illusion that I'm in the center. So if one is immature and feels too accomplished, one's spiritual life is ruined. And that was Srila Bhakti Siddhanta's main criticism. And this book I'm reading, Srila Sridhar, describes it wonderfully. He said the negative attracts the positive. The positive is the infinite absolute truth. The negative, or dependent, or wanting, is the infinitesimal living entity. But the negative can attract the positive. And then, when the negative attracts the positive, then the negative can give the positive. And that's what Sadhu Sangha is. It's a humble soul who has God in his heart, and therefore can give it to you. So, very, very beautiful. And Prabhupada, in the Krishna book, it's quoted, the Nagapatis confirmed that one cannot come in contact with Krishna without executed pious activities and devotional service in one previous life. As Lord Chaitanya advised in his Sikshastakam, one has to execute devotional service by humbly chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street, and not expecting honor for oneself, but offering all kinds of honor to others. The Nagapatis were astonished that although Kaliya had the body of a serpent as the result of grievous sinful activities, at the same time he was in contact with the Lord to the extent that the Lord's lotus feet would touch his hood. Certainly this is not ordinary result of pious activity. These two contradictory facts astonish them. So ultimately the other option is that it's Krishna's mercy. And maybe it's Krishna's mercy because the Nagapatis were devotees. And therefore Krishna helped their husbands. But this is Vaishnavism. Humility, respect, and compassion. Okay, again, I'm ending a little bit early. That's what my heart dictates today. It also dictates because I have to do my puja, my worship of my Giriraj before my 8 o'clock class here. But I do have time for some questions if there are, or some friendly chat. Would anybody like to ask any questions? Would anyone like to say hello?
Hare Krishna.
Gail, Hare Krishna.
Okay. My question is, you gave very wonderful aspirations of having, you know, this love for God that surpasses any kind of material pleasure. my question is, you know, at the neophyte stage of sadhana, where is it possible to get some hope that is possible for, you know, a person in that position when it's so not even on the horizon?
It's just like Lord Nityananda told Krishna Kaviraj, I mean, with his brother, go to Vrindavan. All your desires will be fulfilled. That certainly gives hope. because everything is love of Godhead. It begins with Shraddha. Shraddha is faith, but faith in serving God, and that there's some appreciation there. It's in a budding stage, and Sadhu Sangha is that prema more mature. And that's our faith. Our faith is the experience we get from practicing devotional service. It may not be ecstatic symptom, but it's certainly some conviction and attraction that impels us further. And then we come to Bhajana Kriya, and we start to render service. We have faith in that service. And then in Artanavritti, then we start to give up that which has no value. And then we become fixed. So that's definitely, the whole process is a process of hope. And even when we're hopeless, we can feel God's mercy. And that's our hope too, that God's merciful. So it's a process of hope. When we apply the process, there's hope, there's experience. And if there's no experience, then there's no explanation why people are pursuing the process. Because hope is everything. And the hope is the faith. I hope because I have some experience. I hope because I have some conviction. And that conviction and experience, even though if it sometimes wanes, it gives me the inspiration and hope that I should achieve this because it's so good. Any other questions?
No, thank you, Maharaj.
I spoke to Gopa Kishore. Most likely I'm going to do a program the first Saturday that I return. I'm looking forward to seeing the people at least that are in that area, which is quite a percentage of the people that are on the Sangha there, although some are from different parts in the world. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj, this is Rajarade Devdasi.
Krishna bless you for always listening to the classes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Govardhan Bhaktadas.
Double bless you. Good listening. Thank you so much. We'll see you in March. Anybody else? It's not from New Jersey?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Chris in Pennsylvania.
Okay, it's a big contingent of people west of the Hudson. Very nice. And I heard that you're going to come back to Vrindavan for a week.
Yes, I'm returning the end of January.
Amazing. And you can always stay a week, though.
Yes, yeah, I can only stay a week.
I think it'll be great. I already saw Leela. She's looking forward. And Govardhan and Vati will be there at the time, so at that time we can definitely have some nice fifth rounds, and
yep.
This time maybe you'll have time to go to Lila's house. She's got a really incredible Vrijbasi house, very quiet. I went there for lunch the other day and had Kazakhstan prasad. She's from Kazakhstan. So, anyway. One day I'll tell you what Kazakhstan prasad is. Kazakhstan prasad. Okay. Good, Chris. Great. Anybody else? You'll get so much in 1 week. You'll get so much in 1 week. I will be there maybe a day after you come. I'll be there on February 1st in the afternoon.
Yeah, that'll be great. That'll be excellent.
Yeah. Because my program ends in Puri on the 50th.
Right.
And then the 31st, I'm just going to stay one day in Puri. And then, because I want to catch the morning flight. I don't like to get the Vrindavan day, but the morning flight will get me into Delhi about noon. And then, you know, by 5 or something, I'll be in Vrindavan. And then we have the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th. That's 4 days and 60 leave. Station told me. Okay, Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay. These are the chords of the... Sangha. Okay. Actually, I'll tell Gail a story. I don't know if it'll satisfy her, but the same question was asked to Bhakti Siddhanta. I mean, in spiritual life for so many years, and I'm not experiencing anything. And his answer said, "Oh, that's very good." And when Prabhupada's godfather analyzed that, he said because he was so, you know, into keeping a humble position as the best aspect and best prospect to eventually experience the divine. Okay. Vanchakalpas to Rubyascha Kutasindu Behavichapati Tanam Pavanibu.